Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean. And we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
On your Monday morning, and it's time for us to jump right in.
Where is she answering? And who am I? That's not a secret I'll never tell. You know you love me.
XOXO. Gossip Gay.
That's right. Every Monday, we get Joy Weekly's Joel King Main to come on in and give us all the celebrity goss. But today, we're deep diving, aren't we, Joel?
We are going there.
We are. Britney Spears' memoir, The Woman in Me, came out at the end of last week.
Yes.
And knowing that we were going to be talking about it after Friday's show, I went downstairs to Hares and Hyenas and grabbed a copy. But we've managed to finish the book completely, haven't we?
Both of us have, over the weekend.
Rach, you're not a book reader, are you?
No, and I even, like, it doesn't interest me. I've seen some Britney docos and that sort of thing, and do you know what? I'm happy to hear it from other people, but I'm not interested.
Well, here's
my
question to you. Like, what would you expect from a Britney memoir?
Yeah.
Just her side, like actual her side of the story, because there's all speculation about what her side is, and all we see these days is her juggling knives. So who knows?
And this is what's really interesting about it. This is everything from her perspective. And she actually touches on just that. Like,
she does,
exactly what you're talking about, like the little things she's done on Instagram and the way the media her entire career have tried to portray her. It's really interesting. It's
very interesting. Now, off air, you said, what's the difference between a memoir and a biography?
Yes.
Do you want the definition?
I would, please.
Okay. So simply put, a biography is the life history of an individual written by somebody else. An autobiography is the story of a person's life written by that person.
Right.
And a memoir is a collection of memories written by the person themselves.
And this is what's very good and interesting about this. Like, it's actually a good and short, sharp read. Lots of short chapters where Britney is taking, you know, elements of this part of my experience and that part of my experience and weaving them together.
Do you think that what she's tried to do in writing this is just fact check all the things that other people have said about
no,
her?
No. She is reclaiming, and this is why I love it that it's question and answer with you. She's actually reclaiming a voice that she hasn't been allowed to have, not just during her conservatorship, but
her
entire
whole
career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she started performing at the age of 9.
Yeah, absolutely.
And didn't really understand what she was entering into, became famous at a very young age, like world famous, and was still trying to figure all these things out. And she's just giving everyone her perspective, which is a perspective that we've literally never had before.
No.
And one of the things I love, you know, when you've looked at interviews of Britney, and there's that interview when she talks about Pepsi.
Yes.
It's like, what's your flavor of Pepsi? And she's like, Pepsi's Pepsi.
Yeah.
Like, Pepsi's Pepsi. But there isn't flavors. Like, what do you mean to the interviewer? It's like that. It's just a person genuinely writing from their perspective and being really honest and really raw.
Absolutely. Now, you said that you don't like to read.
No.
You can audiobook it.
Yeah, also, nah.
I actually audiobook it.
The audiobook isn't read. If the audiobook was written, was read by Britney, I would be interested in hearing it. But when it's read by someone else, I'm like.
Actress Michelle Williams.
Yeah.
From Dawson's Creek and plenty of movies. She narrates the book. She is outstanding. And if she doesn't win a Grammy Award for it, I will go.
Wait, you could win a Grammy for audiobooks?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Maybe we should apply.
Yeah. But going back to the book, it is it's a quick read. You can you can do it very, very quickly.
I did it in like a morning and a bit after lunch.
Same. I did it Friday night, Saturday morning, and I finished a bit off yesterday. It was just, but I actually listened to Michelle read the book and I actually followed along. along with her reading it.
I love that you listened and read at the same time, like giving yourself the full audio visual experience.
But it wasn't, look, I have to say, it was, there were some shocking moments in the book itself. Mm. Now, you and I aren't going to give too much away.
Yeah, we don't want to spoil it for people that want to read it. But also, the one thing we both agree is you can look at all these articles that make flashy headlines about it and try to say things. It's worth the read.
Yes.
It isn't as salacious was the
it's
word.
It's not as salacious, yeah, as what what people are saying. Yeah,
I'm going to ask some questions.
Like, what does salacious mean?
No. I know what salacious is. No, I actually want to ask questions about books. So, firstly, what is one of the juicy things that you weren't expecting to read in it?
I don't know if juicy is the word. Mm. This is the third part of it. Where
shocking?
I think that, well, we all see on what the Justin Brittany love story was.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think the most telling part that came out of that was that we didn't actually know that they were pregnant. Right?
Yes, which has made a lot of news headlines as well in a part of their career. But for me as well, even in her retelling her perspective of that, I think the reality of, she's very honest about how naive she is. She was a young girl from the South that just wanted to be loved.
Yes.
She just wanted a person to love her. And that's something that's continued through all of her life. And at first when I was reading it, I'm just kind of like, oh, okay, like maybe this is the whole, surely you know, you get to a different perspective at some point. But it's a theme that goes throughout her life and the book where she's like, I am just a person that wants to be loved and wants to love someone. And she was in this machine that didn't really allow that to happen. So when all of this stuff that's commonplace to us, like, you know, Justin having a girl that looked like Britney in a film clip, all of this stuff we see in the news, she's genuinely like, I was like, why can't I just have a boyfriend?
And like, it was all made out as though it was her fault.
Yeah.
Like
this, and it was. I actually remember reading all that stuff. And she was like, that wasn't
the case.
And I was just in this scenario and hearing it from, this is why when you say shocking or something, it's more this realization that there's so much that we think we know. And we've never had the opportunity to hear it
because
from her,
she's never actually come out and said it.
We're going to get into more Britney very soon. We're going to have the news headlines and all of that goodness first. More Britney coming back after this. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean and our Gossip Gay.
You're waking up with Rach and Dean for Joy Breakfast. I ain't
worried about it. It is 28 minutes to 8 and we are getting our Gossip Gay on a little early this morning, aren't we, Rach?
We are. We're finding out all about Britney Spears' memoir.
Yes.
It's not an autobiography. It's not a biography. It's a memoir, which means it's just a bunch of little memories of hers that she's put into a book.
Yeah.
And we were just talking just before the news headlines about the fact that the world didn't know that her and JT got pregnant.
Correct, yes.
And as someone who isn't hugely into all of the gossip around Britney, I thought that the world also didn't even know if they had had sex, ...
Yeah. And that was something she actually also touches on in the book.
Correct.
As well.
Yeah, she does. She looks, as a teenager, she was portrayed as this young virginal woman. This is what I guess the management and the record label wanted her to sort of appear to, because she was only 16 when she first released Baby One More Time.
Yeah.
And, you know, she got with Justin, you know, at a very, very young age. And so she basically was hounded in interviews. Are you a virgin? Have you had sex with Justin? Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, I'm going to wait till I'm married. Well, we find out in the book that that didn't happen and Justin wasn't the person who she lost her virginity to.
Oh,
and also the thing in which I was saying about where you really earlier in the
weren't
show.
Weren't they together from like 10 years old?
No, they
no,
weren't.
No, not
weren't
that long.
No. and this is the thing of it where she actually talks about it where she's like, I didn't actually understand why this was something that people were asking me. We assume because she's had this rise to fame and was in this machine that was fame, that for her, you know, this is just what her life was like and she should understand this and get this.
Yeah.
No one explained it to her. She just wanted to focus on her music.
Correct.
She was just doing her thing. And to be able to hear that from her perspective was really amazing, because it really wasn't till later in her life that she actually understood what she was a part of when she met artists like Madonna and yes. Mariah Carey and saw the way in which they held their own power,
yeah. mm.
that she didn't realise how little power she had.
I think it's interesting because there is, for some reason, this obsession, especially with child stars, about mm-hmm. knowing when they're going to do the deed.
Correct.
Why do we care so much?
That's something she brings up where she's like, you know, I'm a teenager and I'm releasing music and I'm worldwide famous and I'm going to red carpet with Justin who's about to release music
yep.
and they're asking him about his music and they're asking me about my breasts.
Correct.
Oh, yeah.
And there was
yeah.
a lot of talk about that. And she was a teenage girl yeah. where grown men who were interviewing her were all just talking about her body. Everyone was like looking at her going, or oogling is the word. It's just,
oh,
it was,
absolutely
it was an awful, awful period in her life. But she never wanted fame. This is the thing. She wanted to be a singer and dancer. And the thing was, her father was the one that wanted her to be famous and pushed her into this world so that why? He could make money off her. And this is where the conservatorship came into place.
And we're gonna get more into that. It's such an interesting book. We've barreled through it this entire yeah, weekend
correct.
Just to be able to talk about it this morning on the show. You're on Joy Brekkie with Rach and Dean. Let's go. This is Telephone Line.
Ooh, it's Your Smith, which I did think was Sam Smith at first.
I was like, I was looking at that
sensitive.
Exact same thing. I was
yes.
like, have they written Sam Smith wrong? I don't know what's going on.
You're on Joy Brekkie. Joy. It's 19 minutes to 8 on Joy Brekkie with Rach and Dean, and we've got our gossip gay Joel King Main, and we're talking all things Britney Spears.
Britney Spears. Yeah, now before the break we were about to talk about the conservatorship, weren't we, Dean?
Yes, this is where it's like page 150 of a 270-page book.
Yep.
It's what I think everyone wanted to know the
yes.
most about, because mm-hmm. this was actually the conditions in which Britney was basically, I don't even know.
What's the word?
She's essentially held captive.
She was.
Well, that's a good way to put it.
For 13
absolutely.
Years of her life, she was made to. She couldn't. She had no free will.
Nothing.
No self control. She wasn't allowed to do anything independently.
Everything was documented.
And we're talking eating,
watched,
going to the toilet.
Yeah.
Every part of her life and.
What she would perform in her shows in Las Vegas, like everything was, you do it our way. And there was recently I heard, you know, Andy Cohen?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he came out on he did a podcast with
her. Of course, Andy Cohen had something to say.
Back in 2016, he did a podcast with her. And then he was basically saying about this woman who was part of the conservatorship would stop and come and talk in her ear. And she was, there was things that she wouldn't be able to say that they would tell her not to or they'd stop. And it was just this woman, Robin, who was part of this conservatorship. She was just a real nightmare.
Does she talk about how she got out of it?
Like yes.
The
and I'll be honest, it's like I was crying during yeah. reading about this.
Oh,
it's
wow.
really, it's really powerful and really amazing because she is a, you know, I don't know if Stockholm Syndrome is the word because she actually, you know, was doing all of this. And the reason she explains it in such a way is because, you know, all she wanted to do was be able to spend time with her children.
Yeah.
And this was the only way her family would allow her.
She went along with the conservatorship because if she didn't, then seeing her boys was not an option.
Yeah.
She was not allowed.
So she agreed to do the conservatorship because if she didn't, the boys she could not see.
And she talks really openly about the fact, you know, her mental health issues and the fact
yeah.
that, you know, she the reason she sets herself up in a way where she wasn't trying to be this fame person or anything, this is something that kind of started
yeah.
when she took a break from music to have her children.
Mm. Yes.
And that was something that everyone had a huge problem with.
Correct.
Because they wanted to make money off of her.
Of yes, course.
Absolutely.
Does the book go into, like, the children now? Because there was that whole
yeah.
thing on Instagram with the letters to her kids.
Doesn't go into what they're doing now. She talks obviously very loving about her children, and right at the start of the book,
yes.
the book is actually for, she says, this
dedicated
book is for, dedicated to my boys. You sort of get a lot of information around, well, what happened when they were younger and why she couldn't see them and that boys were taken off her, and, you know, that had a lot to do with Kevin. He wouldn't let him see them, and then, you know, the whole conservatorship, as we just mentioned, if she didn't go along with it, then
yeah.
she couldn't see the boys. She doesn't talk about what their relationship's like now.
It is interesting to look at the way she talks about her relationship with her family, though.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, like, her parents and
yeah.
her sister.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's always had in the book, it's always, there are loving stories about the family and about her sister and her brother and stuff like that. But
oh, there's a brother.
Yeah, there's an older
yep,
brother.
Older
yeah,
brother.
Yeah, yeah. And, but she doesn't, it's not in a way that she doesn't hate them. It's more around.
She doesn't understand why they did this to her.
Correct. Yes, absolutely. So it's more like, like, well, how did my family allow this to happen to me?
Yeah.
And why are they making money when I'm in a facility and my sister and my mother are writing books and making money off my story?
And that's a huge part of it, where she's just like, I'm not okay with this bit, I'm not okay with that, but she doesn't understand why. And she was never in an opportunity to question why, because she was under this conservatorship that didn't allow her to say or do anything. If she said, when she would ask her mother questions, and her parents got divorced and then got back together.
Correct, yes.
And when she'd ask her mother questions about why is this happening to me, her mother would just say, I don't know.
Yeah.
And wouldn't respond either. So there was a lot of stuff going on here. It's really worth a read.
Correct.
When she goes into what gave her the courage and the power to finally step out of this, it's not something that happens straight away.
No, it's not. No. So the conservatorship didn't finish until 2021. So it's only recently, but she found the power to start looking at it from about 2018.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, there's this misconception that she was on lithium the whole entire time through the conservatorship. And it wasn't, that's not the case. It wasn't until the last time she was put in a facility that the lithium started, and that was in around 2018.
Oh.
So it wasn't like she was on lithium this whole conservatorship. It wasn't until later in life. But just a tidbit before we finish the conversation, you asked the question, how did the conservatorship end? She was in the facility and a nurse showed her an article or something on
a video
to say that there was these women that have come out on a talk show to say they were wearing Free Britney t-shirts. And she was like, my fans, there's some movement happening with my fans. And then bang, it just led on from there.
And because she realized,
no one would have been able to contact her any other way.
She realized that other people saw what was happening to her and didn't understand it either. And when she realized that, that gave her the strength and understanding that this wasn't right.
Correct.
It wasn't all in her head.
Yes.
And that to break free from it. And really, it's wonderful to read. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I started crying reading this part of it, where she broke free from it and found her own power to do it. And one of the main reasons I started crying at the end was when she was talking about the first bit of music she released after all of this, because she no longer felt passion or joy for singing and music, because which is all she wanted to be able to do.
And the thing is, Dean, and Rachel, I don't think we'll ever see her at her element ever again. She's not at that point right now.
I think we will, but it'll be in a different way and it'll be on her terms.
Yeah, definitely.
One final question.
Yes.
Does the Instagram stories with the crazy dancing and the disheveled hair make sense
Absolutely.
Now?
Can I tell you, makes absolute sense, because the way in which that was projected in the media is very different to her reality.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the whole British accent thing, she talks about that. She talks about why she's actually going on Instagram and doing all this stuff. And the reason being is because she did not have a life since she was literally a little girl.
She didn't have any other outlet to be able, it was the only avenue that she had to be able to express herself differently.
Correct, yeah.
The only avenue she had where she could wear something that wasn't what was prescribed to her.
Yes.
She could be silly and it wouldn't put her in a mental institution. All of that, it actually was an empowering thing for her.
So she's just being silly.
Yeah.
And
it was actually an empowering thing for her, because in every other aspect of her life, she wasn't allowed to do any of that stuff.
No.
And we want to round out with this song, because she talks about one of the most exciting things in her year since coming out of the conservatorship, which is absolutely wonderful, is the fact that she recorded a track with Elton John.
Yeah, she loves Elton John, is one of her inspirations and one of her idols, and this is one of her favourite songs as a kid, and she got to actually obviously perform this duet with him.
And what it meant for her, being out of the conservatorship, being able to be in a studio with freedom and being able to record it, is really wonderful.
It's beautiful. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Thanks for deep diving into that. Look, Andy's right on the money. Said the root of all evil with these stars is unfortunately the money, and it's so true. Thanks for sharing. You're on Joy Brekkie.
Hold me closer, tight. Joy 94.9.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.